Hey, gang, welcome to yet another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Will the excitement ever stop? It just keeps coming. It's like a giant roller coaster of exciting radio. And that's what RBN is. It is a giant roller coaster of exciting free speech. You never know where it's going to go because it's that free. And to keep this roller coaster going, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send a donation. Download the Koshertified app. Where are you going to find it? Well, you could go to nationalbugle.com, and you're going to see a ton of new articles that have been posted in the past 24 hours, plus the link to the Koshertified app. So do that. And meanwhile, I've got with me Philbert Applebag, the noted composer and all-around swell guy. Philip, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for having me. Philbert. Not
Philbert. I said Philbert, didn't I?
I don't know.
You know what? One of my favorite songs is by the Amboy Dukes, which was Ted Nugent's band when he was a teenager. Down on Philip's Escalator.
Oh.
It's very obscure. I don't know why. It's just, and maybe there's something to it. I guess it was kind of acid rock, except that Ted Nugent didn't take acid.
Psychedelic rock.
He was, yeah. I mean, Ted Nugent was, he was just into
clean cut.
He was clean cut. He was into bow hunting.
Never even drank at all.
Yeah. Still, I'm not sure if he's the clearest thinker around.
Right.
But he's doing better than a lot of people. Yeah, down on Phillips Escalator. What a thrilling ride. I don't know. Ride as much as Philip rides and see what Philip sees.
Down on Phillips Escalator. Goodbye, world. I'll catch you later on. For my consciousness is gone.
I have no idea what it's about, but it's got some good guitar solos on it. So, all right, are you going to join the Navy?
In the Navy.
That's another song.
Oh, yeah, they have a new pledge. I was just reading it before we started recording. I'll read it here. Yeah, a new pledge of the U.S. Navy. I pledge to advocate for and acknowledge all lived experiences and intersectional identities of every sailor in the Navy. I pledge to encourage an ongoing self-reflection, education, and acknowledge sharing to better myself and my communities. I pledge to be an example in an establishing healthy, inclusive, and team-oriented environments. I pledge to constructively share all experiences and information gained from activities above to inform the development of the Navy reforms.
Yeah. I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout Law, to remain mentally sound, physically, morally awake, and well, it was morally straight. What was it? Physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to obey the Scout Law. Something about God and country. I can't remember. But that, okay, so this new Navy pledge, intersectional, does anybody even know what that means?
Well, it's pretty ambiguous, right? Yeah, it's, you can make it mean whatever you want it to mean.
Ambiguous. Do you remember the Ambiguously Gay Duo?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so that was Stephen Colbert and Steve, who was the other guy's name? He was also from The Daily Show. He was a reporter on The Daily Show. Steve Carell. He's done some movies. So Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell. And I think Stephen Colbert was, it was based on Batman and Robin, except there was like, they're like, the villains would watch them as they'd do their thing and, you know, riding a motorcycle. But it was like, everything was like, you know, they look kind of gay, right? They look kind of gay. And one of the cat's lines was, you know, they'd be doing their ambiguously, they'd be doing their crime fighting routine. And then the bad guys would just sit around watching. And it was Ace and Gary, and Ace would say, "What are you looking at?" And they'd say, "Nothing." Looking at them because they were kind of gay. The whole thing was kind of gay. So, okay.
My favorite thing is, like you said, intersectionality. But my favorite thing is the lived experiences, right? Like, I'm hearing that a lot, right? With the AOC, when she lied about, how she thought she was
going to die.
Such harm. Yeah.
The
only defense I heard of her lying is like, you can't deny her lived experience, right? Like, even though it didn't happen, it was an experience in her head, right? So it's still a lived experience. Like, that's my favorite thing. So basically, you could say like the Holocaust, right? Like, yeah. I'm a Holocaust survivor, right? Because I survived one in my head. Like, that's my favorite thing. So anybody could have any lived experience in life now. So that's interesting.
Well, okay, so just speaking as a boomer, I never heard about the Holocaust until the 1970s, and then there was something that was – they did Roots. In the 1970s, they did Roots, and Roots was this epic TV show about Kahunte Kuma, who was some black guy who got captured in Africa and brought over and was made into a slave, even though the importation of slavery had actually been banned by then. But still, there could have been a stray smuggled one or whatever. But at any rate, that was a big sensation. And then I saw that, but then a year later they came out with a Holocaust. And I didn't see that because maybe it was on Boy Scout night. I don't know. I watched a fair amount of TV growing up, but I did go to the Boy Scout meetings, and so I missed whatever was on during Boy Scout night. And it was the Holocaust, and I missed it, and because I'd never heard of it before. Hitler. I remember as a little kid asking who's the worst person in the world, and he said Hitler. I said, why? It was because he tried to take over the earth, which, of course, didn't. And, my dad was a World War II vet, but he wasn't somebody who had gone off. I think he either enlisted in 1943 or was drafted in 43. If he enlisted, it was just because he knew he was going to be drafted. He wasn't gung-ho or anything. He wasn't cowardly. I mean, once he enlisted, he volunteered for, I guess, the Burma theater, which was really rough fighting. He didn't go. He didn't get into combat or anything. But at any rate, where were we going with this? First, ambiguously gay. Oh, the intersectionality. And then, first of all, AOC.
Lived experience.
Yeah, AOC is legitimately stupid enough to believe anything that she's saying. So, I mean, she's
got the mind of a 9-year-old.
Yeah, she's very, very immature. She's incredibly immature. It's embarrassing.
Maybe the attention span of a squirrel.
Yeah, and I don't mind her being in Congress, frankly, given everybody else who's in Congress. I don't mind having her, and I don't mind having Ilhan Omar or a lot of these other people, because if you've got a bunch of horrible, useless people anyway, you might as well have some variety, and every now and then. Not so much AOC, but like Ilhan Omar, because she wants to kill the 6 million.
I thank God have never met Ilhan Omar, but I just have like an unfounded fear of like her just like stinking, like an unbelievable stench like coming from her. And I don't know if like I'm on par or like where that like, fear even came from. It is, but I'm probably right. It's like I just maybe I can smell her from here already. I don't know.
I don't know.
Imagine she stinks.
I don't know. I mean, she's got like a new white husband.
Maybe it's that thing up in her head. It probably doesn't get washed very much.
Well, she seems to change it from time to time. I mean, because there's different colors. I don't know. But the other thing about that Navy pledge was it said something about my communities. Instead of my community, my communities, wasn't it in the plural?
Yes. I pledge to encourage, I pledge to engage in ongoing self-reflection and education, acknowledgement of sharing to do better for myself and my communities.
My communities, because I guess that's all intersectional, because it's not just that you live in the Bronx, but you're black and you're Jewish and you're gay and you're disabled.
Yeah, this land is my land. This land is your land.
But the Navy, I mean, so I never was in the Navy, but I was recruited. I mean, they were recruiting me. They were trying to get me. And the idea of taking a pledge like that, could you imagine being in a room of recruits and you're supposed to say that? Would people be laughing? Or are they looking at each other?
I would. I probably would. And I don't know if this is mandatory. Maybe for new recruits, perhaps. I don't know. I just have it in front of me. I was actually watching Red Ice, the Weekend Warrior stream they do, and this is something they were mentioning. So, yeah, new Navy pledge.
Now, the thing is, a lot of things that were jokes really became kind of scary realities. They were funny jokes, and now they're scary realities.
I tell people if anybody watched South Park, say 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
2007, 2008, 2009, when it was. I think it's still around, but I don't
watch
TV anymore. But it seems like we're living like a South Park episode, only it's not even funny. It's violent and it's horrible. It's like hell. Yeah, we're like living
And are we Kenny? Are we Kenny?
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah, good point. Good point. Or that movie Idiocracy, right?
Yeah. For those who aren't aware, there were year after year after year, every South Park episode included the kid Kenny getting killed.
Yeah, just his trademark. In creative ways, too.
Yeah. So, scary joke, funny jokes become scary. So, were we talking about this last time? Was I talking to you about the movie Car Wash?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, the line in the Car Wash movie was that nobody's joining the army anymore except for black people. And one of these days, the blacks are going to realize they're the only ones with the guns. They've got all the guns, and they're going to take over. And we, the two white people who are working at this car wash with a bunch of blacks, we're going to be perfectly situated to be token whites in the new, in the new society. And the thing is, you've got now, this is the military we're talking about, the Navy, and you've got this really aggressively anti-white Negro who is the new Secretary of Defense, and he's like, his first order of business is to purge the military of white supremacy. And
means white people.
Yeah. Well, you could think it sounds like a joke at first, but what happens when you've got a very anti-white government and a military that's been largely purged of they're not going to totally purge it of whites, but it's going to be increasingly the enlisted people are going to be non-white or homosexual, and they might not be able to fight the Chinese or the Russians or the Iranians, but yes. They could very well terrorize their own disarmed population.
Yeah.
And we're still years away from that. But how many years away, like just a year ago, how many years away did you think we would have been from lockdowns and largely peaceful riots and a stolen election?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a runaway train. I mean, that's one good thing I think about them weakening the military is that they're not going to be able to fight wars overseas. But, that's not good, too, because like you just pointed out, they'll be able to terrorize domestically. And they'll be able to terrorize the domestic terrorists.
Yeah, we've been branded as domestic terrorists. And as Jen Psaki, as she recently claimed, fake President Biden, he loves to take on the NRA and win, which translated means that there's going to be you know, renewed push and probably pushing the envelope on, you know, gun regulation, gun confiscation, probably in the form of these mandatory buybacks. And, you know, this has happened. Of course, something very similar to that happened in Australia about 20 years ago. And the Australian public basically just gave up their guns.
Yeah. They didn't. How many did they have? They didn't have nearly the amount that we do, though.
No, Australia's got a large, I mean, it's got cities. I don't know how rural the population compared to America is. But, you know, there's the outback. There is a lot of rural Australia. How many people in Sydney or Melbourne have, or, you know, Brisbane, Perth have guns? I don't know. But there are an awful lot of people out in the countryside and in the outback and whatnot.
Yeah. I've never been to Australia, but I wouldn't think that they had, at least up until, you know, 2013-14, when all the white countries got invaded by Syrian refugees, up until then, I wouldn't have thought that they had a very high crime rate as it is, because they're still largely white, except for the inner part.
Well, there's been a lot of immigration to Australia.
And they have a lot of Asian, Southeast.
The immigration's largely, you know, compared to us, it's more Southeast Asian and Chinese. And you walk around Singapore, Sydney, and you think you're in Singapore, because that's what it looks like. But they've also had a fair amount of Muslims. You know, being a Commonwealth country, I guess Pakistan and Bangladesh. Pakistan, Bangladesh. That's Indian Ocean. It's not that far from Australia, in the big scope of things. It's closer to Australia than it is to here. So they have
one of the most filthiest countries in the world.
Bangladesh.
I've seen pictures of it, and it looks like some of the pictures I've seen look worse than Africa.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, it's got well over
a town near you.
It's got well over 100 million people now, and they live in an area the size of Illinois.
Yeah, that's
so. Like, imagine taking, I don't know if it would be everybody inside of what east of the Mississippi, but maybe everybody in east of the Mississippi besides Florida, and scrunching them up into Illinois. And that's what it would be like. But Australia also had Africans. And I remember, not too long ago, I was in Alice Springs, which is right in the middle of Australia. It's right in the middle. It's in the Northern Territories. And it is, I went there because I wanted to check out the Aborigines. The biggest concentration of Aborigines in the world. And if you want to go, so you go. And so walking around Alice Springs and you know, there are tourists, it's a nice little town, but you also have these Aborigines shuffling around. Some of them are drunk and some of them are just passed out on the side of the street. And the ones who maybe aren't drunk, they still just seem kind of weirded out. And, you know, sometimes you get like old ladies walking up and whispering weird things to you. They're very otherworldly. And then I remember going into something like a Kmart in Alice Spring, and they had these guards, and the guards were South Sudanese, you know, these tall, skinny Africans. Like, what the heck are South Sudanese doing in the middle of Australia in Alice Spring guarding this Kmart? And of course, the South Sudanese they're in Melbourne, where they're in higher numbers. There's like 8,000 in Melbourne, and they have started their own crime epidemic, South Sudanese, because, you know, these are all refugees from the brutal Sudanese civil war, and they know how to hack them up and shoot them up. But here we are at the break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we are back. So yeah, the Sudanese, the South Sudanese are very landlocked, but the Somalis are good pirates, aren't they? They're good at that.
Somali pirates.
I once
thought of joining a private security firm training maritime security. I once considered that for a career change. I think it paid good money.
Yeah, indeed. We were talking about Ilhan Omar earlier, and she wears the turban. Being that she's Somali, do you think she should wear like a bandana on her head, kind of pirate style?
Yeah. As long as I can't smell her.
I don't know if she's... I mean, does... Does she smell? I don't know.
I think she stinks.
Okay. All right. Hey, what else do we have? Did you have some stuff prepared?
Yeah. I was looking at a website called the organicprepper.com, mm-hmm. and they have an article up here, and it's about the IMF, and it says the IMF suggests that the creditworthiness of customers should be addressed using the digital footprint of customers from various online activities. So kind of like China's credit score.
Only, yeah, they have a social credit score.
Yeah. I mean, and for the first, you know, we have that to some extent, to be fair.
We have these semi-pro reporters from the Huffington Post and wherever else they're from. And they go around doxing people and harassing them and getting them fired from their jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, people have been warning about this for a long time. I mean, even people like Alex Jones, you know, the people that were screaming New World Order, you know, in the mid and late 90s and still nowadays. But I mean, it's, you gotta realize it's here, you know. I mean, we're not all going to be put into FEMA camps, but yeah, maybe you will if you don't, or you won't be able to, you know, buy, sell, or trade if you don't profess your anti-white, you know, or hatred for, you know, white people.
So, I mean, ironically, because this was a kind of a population control device that was pioneered by the Chinese, the social credit score, where I'm not exactly sure how they get the information they do to compile the score, but I'm sure a lot of it will be online. And then potentially you could be refused train tickets or plane tickets or certain other things because you've been naughty online. And the irony is that this is already coming to the United States, and you've got Citibank, which Tucker has reported on Citibank having turned over records of credit card transactions to the FBI for anybody that was in Washington, D.C. buying, you know, potentially buying a Trump T-shirt right on January 6th. But the irony is that really the best way for us to avoid our American social credit tyranny would be to, as much as possible, use Chinese software, Chinese websites, Chinese devices. I mean, I would love to get a Huawei telephone, except I don't know if I can get one, but maybe I'll wind up getting a Korean.
I think I can get you one.
Okay. Lucky Gold Star, the LG, that's Korean. That might be the next best thing. But then I was listening to, what's the guy's name? Devin Stack, the black-pilled guy. And he was saying that people in his the comment section or the super chats are hassling him about, is it DLive or whatever platform he's using is a Chinese platform. He says, well, the Chinese aren't the ones trying to deplatform me.
Yeah. Does he read super chats? I try to leave him super chats and he would never read them. I got mad.
Really?
But yeah, but I mean, he's right. He's right. And I know exactly what you're saying. He said, like, well, why am I on a Chinese gaming server platform, right? So that's just true.
Yeah, so it's not as if the Chinese are developing the model society that we want to emulate. It's just that what the Chinese are trying to repress isn't us. You know, the Chinese want to maintain control of their own society. They don't care about whether white people are replaced by Somalis or Hondurans. That's not their thing. But our people are. Our government, our ruling establishment is.
So I would like to point out that this ties back to privacy and internet security, like we've been kind of touching on here and there. And that's a personal interest of mine as of late. As of the past 2 years, I've been studying that a lot. And ironically, I hate to say it, but I saw all this coming. At least all the doxing and all the censorship. Mm-hmm. I didn't see this coming, but I would recommend people start getting good digital hygiene, like learning. Because every time you connect to a server, it has to communicate with your computer, and they can save all that information, and they can develop fingerprints on you, and they can develop user profiles. Well, there's ways to obfuscate that.
I tell you what, we're coming right up on the break, but why don't we go into a few details when we come back?
All right.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Welcome back to the show. So, you were talking about digital security.
Or digital hygiene, yeah.
Digital hygiene.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, every time you connect to a server, it needs to know things about you, like OS fingerprinting, like operating system. It'll know your operating system, to know what language to send code in sometimes. It'll need to know things like their screen resolution size, you know. And I like this thing called Dark Reader. So it puts websites that are, like, white and all bright, you know. Sometimes it looks like you're staring into headlights. I have this thing that makes all the websites look darker, so it's easier on your eyes. Like, in just... for that example, right, they need to know that, so they need to put a dark background on there. So they, these are the kind of things that they can store on you and build profiles on you.
Well, okay, so when you connect to a typical website, it's either HTTP or HTTPS, so Hypertext Transfer Protocol, and then the S, I guess, is for secure?
Yes.
Something like that. And in the old days, there was also FTP, right? File
yes.
Transfer Protocol?
Yeah.
And then even before that, I remember Gopher, which had its own protocol. It was like basically just directories. And I guess there might have been some others. And I always thought, okay, so you receive a bunch of HTML code and it's just parsed out on your end. But I guess there's actually a lot of back and forth. And so they are
the TLS handshake.
The handshake.
That's where yeah, it grabs some information, some random information from your computer, and then builds an encryption key based off of that. And it, that information could be anywhere from, say, the number like of minutes that it's on the current hour of time, and, or it could be the number of clicks that you made in the past 2 hours. It's there's so many inputs, and that's the idea of the randomized. But anyway, it'll take information like that and build an encryption key on it. That's what the TLS handshake is. So they're all unique in that means.
Okay. How worried do we have to be about our... Well, here's something. So when I was it today? Were we talking about a Guardian article today, or was that yesterday? I pulled up a Guardian article, and the moment like I pull up the Guardian article, and then it starts like playing something in the background. There's ads, and everything gets slowed down. Obviously, if you go to like porno sites or a lot of other kinds of sites, all sorts of bad things can be downloaded onto your computer. How about mainstream places like CNN? Or, you know, because it seems to me when I go to CNN, my computer just slows down.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. Some websites, I'm not accusing CNN of this, but you never know. They'll have crypto miners in the background, and they'll literally use some of your computer's CPU to mine things like Bitcoin and Monero. And you can check that by doing the Control-Alt-Delete, and if you have, like, you know, 100% of your resources or near that dedicated to, you know, your web server or your web browser, I mean, then, yeah, something like that may be going on.
So what I've found is the most trusted name in news, the Daily Stormer. I have no trouble with the Daily Stormer, and I assume that's because it's completely non-monetized. It's non-monetizable, and so it's not running all this stuff. Whereas if I go to Zero Hedge, there's always like little video, tiny little video windows down in the corner, and all sorts of stuff going on, and the page crashes and has to reload.
You know what you can do? You can read the terms of service, and what's even more juicy, though, is reading the privacy policy, and because they legally have to disclose if they're doing any of that things like crypto mining and stuff like that, and you can sue them for a lot of the money if you find out that they are and they didn't disclose it. So sometimes you can see all the like little. It's not spying because they have to have it out in the open, I guess, but it's kind of legal spying, I guess, for lack of a better term, all in the privacy policy and sometimes terms of service.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you have something else you wanted to raise, but do you?
No.
Okay. So earlier today, which would be yesterday for the audience, Rush Limbaugh passed away.
You heard that? I hadn't heard that. No.
Yeah. So Rush Limbaugh passed away. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to be eulogized all over the place. And I had no use for Rush Limbaugh for maybe 31 out of his 32-year career. But the past year, he was coming up pretty big on a lot of important things. And the past year, of course, everything's been going crazy. So, you know, the fake election, the... largely peaceful riots. I don't know how big he was coming up on the corona stuff, but he was coming up pretty big. And of course, he's known he's terminally ill, and so this is what you wonder. He's been doing this for 32 years. He's got to know what the score is. He's going to die soon anyway. At what point do you talk about Jewish power? And he never got around to it.
I'm hoping like that will happen only like in terms of our race, not the individual. Like when will we wake up
as a group?
Yeah,
because we're too daggone polite.
Yeah, right? If you think about it, like, yeah, people are scared of being called a name or two, mm-hmm. right? And if you go back, you know, a few hundred years, it's like our ancestors had to put up with a lot more than that. You know, it's just crazy the amount of, you know, shame that people will carry just being called a name. It's unbelievable when you really respect it. You know?
If you read the Declaration of Independence, they were spelling out their grievances to King George. And one of them was King George's failure to adequately protect them from merciless savages, the Indians.
Yeah, right.
Merciless savages. And now we're at the, and of course, you did have Europeans go around the world, colonizing the world. And of course, it's not as if Europeans invented slavery, but you had slavery in a lot of the European colonies and whatnot. And now, and of course, even today, that prohibition on rudeness doesn't extend to rudeness against white people. I mean, look at the blue-haired social justice warriors, for instance. Yeah, they don't have any compunction. Is there such a word about being rude? But for us, why is there a prohibition, a taboo on the discussion of Jewish power or the discussion of any grievance that is particular to white people? Why is there a taboo on it that we ourselves take part in?
Yeah, I don't know. It does seem to be kind of an illness of the mind in a lot of people. And it seems like there's a select few that either can step outside of the box and see it, or by virtue of their life experiences, you know, have, you know, seen it barefaced.
So
how it's allowed to continue, you know, I mean, that is the dying question.
So there was a Marxist, what was his name? Italian Marxist Gramsci, Antonio Gramsci. And it's not like I've read a lot of his stuff, but he did talk about, he had this idea about hegemony. And I think it was like hegemonic ideas. And I don't know if it really applies well to this situation or not, but once ideas become hegemonic, they don't even need to be enforced from outside anymore. Because they're self-enforced. And, I mean, this taboo, this is being, yeah, obviously there's coercion. Obviously you've got, if somebody steps out of line, they can lose their job or whatnot, but not everybody. And, of course, pensioners aren't going to lose their jobs. We're not at the point yet where somebody's going to lose their Social Security by being politically incorrect. But it's like you think of maybe a bank robbery where you've got like 100 people in the bank or 1,000 people in the bank, and you've got the one bank robber with a gun. And if he gets bum rushed, yeah, maybe one or two people are going to get hurt, even killed. But you know, the way it is now, you got the one guy with the gun who's just picking off people, you know, one by one. And it's not getting bum rushed. When are we ever going to bum rush these people? When I say bum rush, I don't mean like violently. I just mean by speaking honestly.
I like that analogy, the bum rushing. We need a bum rush.
Yeah. So I was listening to NPR today. And I was in the car, and I was listening to Sean Hannity eulogize Rush, and fine, but it wasn't interesting. So I switched over to NPR, and there was a woman who was being interviewed. Obviously, NPR, they're going to interview somebody who's the head of some this or that social justice project. And she's written a book on how racism hurts everybody. It hurts white people. Not that people are racist against whites, but white racism against other people is just so destructive that it even hurts white people too. It's just that destructive. And she was somehow trying to tie in these what did she call them? These stereotypes that black people are bad with money. And that was the stereotype that black people are bad with money was the root cause of the 2008 mortgage meltdown, right? The mortgage crisis. But as I recall, it's not that banks weren't lending to black people. They were lending to black people.
Exactly.
And the blacks weren't, it turned out not to be good credit risks.
I remember in 2007 or 8, it would have been either one of those years. There was a commercial that had an all-black family sitting at the dinner table, and there was a phone ringing nonstop that they wouldn't answer. And like at the end of the commercial, they all just kind of looked at each other, and it was a commercial about foreclosures and whatever, and it was something like address your problems or something. And I always just remembered that, and I thought that's something that you wouldn't see nowadays. Like,
yeah. So and then they were talking about Obamacare, and this is the real dishonesty. I mean, either this is really shoddy research or just complete dishonesty, because she was saying, well, the majority of white people, there's always been a majority of white people who are against Obamacare. And yet white people, numerically speaking, there are more white people who benefit from Obamacare than black people. Or than non-whites, maybe she said. I don't know if it was, but the thing is, Obamacare. What is the definition of being somebody who benefits from Obamacare? Because I mean, the idea is there are more, just numerically speaking, there's a greater number of white people who fall into this category of benefiting from Obamacare. Well, there's a variety of ways you can benefit from Obamacare. There's also a variety of ways that you can pay for Obamacare. And she's not doing any kind of net calculation, right? So for instance, if your income is like 140% of federal poverty level, you're getting super subsidized premiums and deductibles and all of that. Everything's really low price, super subsidized. It's coming from the taxpayer, and coming from the premium payer, the people who are paying full premiums. Well, which income group is disproportionately likely to be at 140% of federal poverty level, for instance? Okay, and it's not whites. Now. Then if you get to above 250% or above 400%, I mean, above 400%, you're not getting any kind of subsidies. But you could say, well, there's no longer a pre-existing condition exclusions. You know, you get there are certain protections. And so anybody who's enrolled, even if you're paying full price, are you still being counted as benefiting from Obamacare? But yet somebody who's over, you know, 400% of federal poverty level, which is still middle class, you know, that would be like a single person earning $50,000, or like a family, or, you know, a couple of like about 60 something thousand, which isn't rich. And they're, especially if they're middle aged, they could be paying, you know, well over $1,000 each for the policy, which would have been double what they were paying before Obamacare. Did they really benefit?
Yeah. Yeah, you could, like, make a documentary about that and call it Super Subsidize Me.
Hey, that's a good night. Super Subsidize
Me. Hey, kind of unrelated, but You know, the NFL, they made that fund with, or the fund with the CTE damage, or the, you know, that head trauma. They have a fund where they, if you can prove you have, you know.
Did we talk about this last week?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. No, I must have heard somebody talk about it. It's interesting. So please continue.
Yeah, they lowered the baseline for determining that based upon race, because they lowered the baseline for blacks of that lower than whites. And there's kind of an argument amongst blacks in the NFL whether that they're like, hey, this is institutional racism.
Is it racist?
Others are like, no, but we benefit from this, so we don't want to bring it up.
Okay, we'll be right back, and we're going to explain a little bit about that.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Xtendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Xtendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Xtendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Xtendivite may just be for you. Xtendivite is an all-natural supplement. Xtendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Yeah, say that 5 times fast.
I can't even say 1 time slow. But encephalopathy. This is, if you get repeated head trauma, repeated concussions, and there is a big, monetary settlement in the NFL, where if you meet the criteria, then you can receive payments. Well, the thing is, in order to qualify, you've got to be so many points below the baseline. Like the baseline for a normal functioning person, you could think of it as being something equivalent to an IQ. And if you are this far below that baseline, then you qualify. Now, I don't have all the details, but the thing is it that they have two different baselines, one for blacks and one for whites? Because, you know, a typical black person, a typical black football player might be pretty close to significantly below the baseline for a typical white football player, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and they're just kind of, there's an argument whether whether they should deem that institutional racism or whether they should just not say anything and continue to reap all the free gibs.
So here's the thing, in the NFL, because I pulled up this article, and this is lawyers say NFL concussion settlement discriminate against black players. Here's the quote. Black former players have been automatically assumed through a statistical manipulation called race norming to have started with worse cognitive functioning than former white players. So the thing is, the white player can come in with a certain amount of dementia and say, look, I've got a certain amount of dementia, so give me money, and they'll get money. And the black player comes in with the exact same amount of dementia and says, look, I've got this amount of dementia. And they say, yeah, but you're black. What do you expect? And so they're not getting the money. So actually this is disadvantageous to, in this circumstance, it's disadvantageous to the black players. You might be demented now, but you were probably demented when you came into the league because you're black. That's kind of what's going on here. And I'm laughing only because if we don't laugh, we've got to cry because everything's just gotten so crazy. But there you go. All right. We are getting close to the end of the show. Oh, you're a musician. Where's the best way for people to go and find your songs?
You know, I need to put them all up on BitChute, but I've been having trouble with that.
And by the way,
isn't really a good place right now.
It's not called BitChute. It's called BitchUTE.
Ah,
I like it. Isn't that what it's called? That's what I thought it was called.
Well, that's what I'm going to use.
It's like female dog. It's like, forget it. I'm not going there. Anyway.
I think there's a couple songs on Spotify still.
Yeah, there's good stuff.
Well, I should have a full album on Spotify, unless they just, you know, there wasn't any lyrics on it at all. Like, I made a whole instrumental album. It should be on Spotify, like with all the bumper music.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, and thank you for having me on your program.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.